Amen. Thank you, Brother Ralph. You may be seated there, and I'm thankful for that truth that we sang about here just a few moments ago, that we do have a friend that we can go to in prayer, knowing that he hears us and knowing that he'll answer those prayer requests. And we're glad you're here tonight. Go ahead and take your Bibles with me, if you would, and turn with us to the book of Jonah, chapter number 4. Jonah chapter number 4, and we are in the home stretch of the book of Jonah this evening. Just a couple more weeks as we finish up chapter number 4. In fact, after tonight, we'll have just two verses left of the book of Jonah as we prepare in the fall to go into a new study, but still a lot of encouragement to be found here in this short minor prophet book of the book of Jonah, and want to look at that tonight. You know, one pastor said it well about the book of Jonah. He said this, he said, "Jonah's story is an illustration of how God treats his children when they sin and come back to him. How wonderful this is." Another said this about the book of Jonah and said it this way. He said, "A lesser God would have answered Jonah's prayer at once by slaying him on the spot." And I'm thankful tonight that the God of Scripture, the God of the Bible, doesn't work that way. I'm thankful that when Jonah was in his pity party, when Jonah was asking and crying out to God for God to just come down and kill him, and to take him home to heaven, God helped him to see that God had further and future plans for Jonah. And here in the book of Jonah, we see and find God patiently. He persistently pursues and works with Jonah. Now, what we're going to look at tonight from these verses 5 through 9, is God counseling Jonah. Now, there's many people in our day and age that they need counsel. They need counseling. They need encouragement. They need wisdom. They need discernment. They need advice, and so on and so forth. In fact, the Bible tells us that there is safety in a multitude of counsel. Folks come to me all the time for advice and counsel, and I always ask them, well, if they have a spouse, well, what does your spouse say? Or if with their parents, what do your parents say? Because whenever making a decision, it's very good to surround yourself with good, godly counsel so that you can make sure that you're making the best decision that you can possibly make with the Lord's help. Now, that all being said, there's safety in a multitude of counsel. But can you imagine tonight, if you could, just for a moment, receiving counsel from the Creator and God of this universe? Because that's exactly what Jonah was able to do. He was able to receive counsel directly from God Himself. Now, let me encourage you on this. You and I can receive counsel directly from God Himself. You say, well, Pastor, how's that possible? God doesn't speak to us in audible tones anymore. He doesn't speak to us in visions. He doesn't speak to us face to face anymore. No, he doesn't. But he speaks to us through his word from Genesis to Revelation. And you've heard it said a number of times that the Bible is more up to date than today's newspaper or tomorrow's newspaper, because it has the answers to life there with you and for you each step of the way. And so tonight, we want to look here at Jonah chapter number 4 as God counsels Jonah. Who'd like to read there for us Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 through 9? Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. Miss Martha?
Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 to 9. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a board, a and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a
vehement
east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death."
All right. Thank you there, Ms. Martha. And so, here in Jonah chapter 4, we find something that is used quite often in literature, and it's a device known as irony. And irony in literature can be a very penetrating device. It can be a very penetrating literary device. And the irony here flows freely in these verses, because here's what's happening in verses 5 through 8. Jonah is a prophet sent to proclaim the word of God. We saw that in chapter 1. He's displeased when a city of wicked sinners repents and believes God's message. We see that here in chapter 4. And then shortly after rejoicing in his merciful rescue from death in the ocean, he is once again angrily voicing his own death wish. Again, here we have Jonah. He's asking and wanting to die. And so now we find Jonah, he's confused, he's upset, and he's asking God to just take his life there in verse number 8. But God, again, as we've seen throughout this entire book, and really throughout the entire Word of God, God is long-suffering towards Jonah. And so as Jonah prepares himself a spot overlooking Nineveh, God uses his sovereignty as to prepare an object lesson for Jonah, because Jonah wants to see destruction. That's all Jonah wants to see here. But God wants Jonah to see something else. So now, what does God do in verse number 6? He makes a gourd. That's right. Verse 6. Right there, the first phrase, and the Lord prepared a gourd. So he prepares a gourd. It's just another term for plant. And so he prepares this plant. And God is the creator, which the Bible tells us, which hath made the sea and the dry land. We've seen up to this point in the book of Jonah, God has used a storm. He's used a ship's crew. He's used casting lots. He uses a whale, and now he's going to use a wild plant in his sanctification or setting apart of Jonah. And the verse there, verse number 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. That word prepared in Jonah 4:6 is the same Hebrew word used in Jonah 1 and verse 17. Go back there if you would. Jonah chapter 1. And notice there, verse number 17. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And so there in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17, that first phrase, and the Lord prepared a great fish. Jonah 4 and verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd. So here we have in chapter 1 and chapter 4, the sovereign power God used to rescue Jonah from death in the ocean is now the very same creative power God is using here to rescue him from his grief. And so the question becomes, what is God doing for Jonah as Jonah is kind of glaring angrily at Nineveh? What is God doing for Jonah. Anyone have an idea of what he's doing? Well, look there if you would, verse number 9 of Jonah chapter 4. The Bible says, "And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death." Here's what God's doing. Even in Jonah's anger, God is still caring for him and preparing to help him learn and grow. And I'm thankful tonight, sometimes when you and I don't understand all of God's plans, and let's be honest tonight, there are things that God does in our life that we don't understand what he's doing. We don't understand his plans. We don't understand his ways. And sometimes when we don't understand, we get angry at that which we don't understand. But God, instead of, you know, kind of putting the foot down on us and chastising us and punishing us, he comes alongside of us and he helps us to learn and to show us why he's doing exactly why he is doing what he's doing. And I'm thankful tonight, God, even in our misunderstanding, even in our anger, he still cares for us and prepares to help us grow and learn more of him. And so notice there again, verse number 6, Jonah chapter 4. God prepares this gourd. He makes it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. And then notice the last phrase of verse number 6. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. And so Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Now here's the irony. And here's where it gets kind of humorous when you look at it. Because Jonah cared nothing for the sailors. Jonah cared nothing for the Ninevites. Yet here, he gets excited about a plant. Didn't care about the sailors who were people. Didn't care about the Ninevites who were people. But here the Bible says, Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. So what does God do next? Well, remember, God is intentionally working to awaken Jonah to really just the ridiculousness of his sinfulness and his sinful heart. Notice there, verse 7 and 8. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose from the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And so verse number 6, God prepares this gourd to shadow Jonah's head, to deliver him from his grief. Jonah becomes exceeding glad at this. He becomes happy at this. He's thankful for this gourd. And then in verses 7 and 8, God prepares a worm to kill the plant. Now, at this point, it might seem like God is just kind of playing with Jonah a little bit. Jonah's kind of on a roller coaster of emotions. He loves God's mercy, but he hates God's mercy. He's excited for a plant, but he's angry that it dies. If Jonah does not see the problem with being angry at Nineveh, then perhaps he will acknowledge the absurdity of his anger over a plant. How about us tonight? Have we ever known someone in this type of position? You know, someone so consumed with selfishness, he thought life would end if just any small thing didn't go his way. I think we could all relate to some people like that tonight. If everything didn't go their way, life was just over and there was no point in going on. I remember the story of a young preacher, and he had taken a church, and things just weren't going well. And he went to an older pastor one day, and he's just complaining to this older pastor, you know, pouring his heart out. And he said this to the older pastor. He says, "Brother so and so, everybody they just don't like me. Everybody they don't care for me." And the older pastor sat back in his chair, looked at him, and said, "Are you sure about that?" He said, "Yeah, nobody likes me." And the older pastor looked at him and says, "So you're the only person in the entire world that knows everybody in the entire world." And the younger pastor looked at him and said, "Well, no, of course I don't know everybody in the world." And the older pastor looked at him and said, "Well, how can everybody not like you if you don't know everybody?" And he was trying to get him to see the point that, well, just because maybe a few people didn't like him didn't mean everybody didn't like him, because he couldn't have met everybody. But there's always that person who, if one small thing doesn't go their way, they think life would end. And Jonah here is convinced that God and even the plants were in existence to fulfill his desires. And the simple truth of the matter tonight is that that's how sometimes we view God. We think God is here to fulfill our desires instead of us here to fulfill his desires and to worship him in spirit and in truth. You've heard me tell the story. There was this church that they were introducing some new music, and after the service, this older lady goes up to the pastor and says, "Well, it was a good service, but I just didn't care for that music." And the pastor said, he thought to himself, "Well, it's a good thing we're not worshiping you. We're worshiping the Lord." And see, that's what we come to church to do. We come to church to worship the Lord. And everything that we do in the church is not for the entertainment of those sitting in the pews. It's for the worship of the Lord. It's for the worship of God. And so we see Jonah thinks that, well, everything is here to fulfill his desires. And again, I think we could say we know people like that, that everything, that God is here to fulfill our desires. And if he doesn't fulfill our desires, then, well, everything's just going to fall apart. One writer summarized it this way. He said he cared more for his personal comfort than for the spiritual destiny of thousands of people. That's a very wicked and twisted perspective. Well, as long as I'm comfortable, it's okay. Folks, we have not been called to be comfortable. The Christian life is a war zone. The Christian life is a battlefield. The Christian life, it is literally a battle between hell and heaven, between good and evil, between life and death. And we think we're, you know, and we've got it good. We can come into a nice church building, comfortable pews. When it's hot in the summer, we can put on the air condition. When it's cold in the winter, we can put on the heat and be comfortable. But we have to be careful that we don't become too comfortable while there's a lost and dying world just outside of these doors, going to a very real place called hell. And then notice, if you would, verse number 9. Verse number 9, the Bible says, "And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death." So again, here tonight, we see that instead of attacking Jonah, God asked Jonah another pointed question. designed to make Jonah think. Have you ever been asked such a question that you just have to take a moment to stop and think about it? Just sit there and ponder it? Well, that's what I believe Jonah had to do. And hopefully they've experienced personally someone biblically counseling them using helpful questions. And then you notice how Jonah responds. He responds like a spoiled child. He says, yes. He says, I am justified in my anger about this plant, and I'm going to stay angry until I die. What a way to live. Have you ever meet somebody like that? I'm angry and I'm happy about it. I mean, who would want to live like that? I don't want to live angry. I don't want to live mad. I don't want to live angry and mad at everything that moves. But that was Jonah. I'm going to stay angry until I die. And despite God's prodding, Jonah holds his ground. His dislike of those Ninevite people had so discolored his outlook on life that even smaller events became significant. His mistrust of God had penetrated every corner of his thoughts and threatens to overwhelm him to the point of death. And so finally, God asks one final question. Notice there, if you would, verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11, Jonah chapter 4. The Bible says, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So point by point now, God lays out the problem for Jonah. Jonah's acting like a child, so now God's going to lay things out so that Jonah, in his childish way, can understand. And God is still being consistent and gracious and compassionate in his interaction. And he does not, and again, he doesn't explicitly condemn Jonah in these verses, but instead he just asks a final question that leaves no room for Jonah to wonder. He asks a question that leaves no room for Jonah to wiggle out. God basically says, Jonah, you did nothing for the plant, but you loved it and felt badly when it was destroyed. So doesn't it make sense that I, God, would feel the same way about a people that I personally created and love? After this question, Jonah is left to think and ponder. You notice there, Jonah ends at chapter 4, verse 11. No response from Jonah. God had the last word. And by the way, God will always have the last word. God will always have the last say. But see, here's what God trying to get us to understand. He's saying that this plant that was born in the night and died in the night, you did nothing for it. You had no part in its growth. You had nothing in its stake. But yet you loved it. Should then I, God, not love the people that I created and loved? Let's break it down on a more personal level. I have a massive book collection. The only thing I've done for those books are buy them and read them. I did not write them. I did not have a hand in publishing them. I did not have a hand in gluing them together. I did not have a hand in boxing them up and shipping them to stores all across the world. But yet I love those books. They are my babies. We have a Funko Pop collection of collectibles that we like to collect and enjoy. But again, no hand in making them, no hand in shipping them, no hand in designing them, nothing, but yet we enjoy them and we love them. So then how much more, as a Christian and as a child of God, should we love and care for people that God created and God says that He loves, despite what their lifestyle is, despite what sin they're in? Listen, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, and such were some of you. You see, we were in the same boat before Christ reached down and saved us. We needed somebody to love us and reach us and have compassion on us and care for us. But could you imagine if churches took the position of Jonah and said, well, they're sinners, they deserve to die. Folks, that's the complete antithesis to the gospel. That's the complete opposite of the gospel. And so Jonah is left to think and to ponder. God's patient and merciful questions have brought Jonah to the moment of decision. The counseling session is over. God's point has been made. And now Jonah must decide what he will do. The sad truth of the matter tonight is this. As a pastor, I counsel many people. I talk to many people. I give my advice to many people. All of my advice comes from the Bible. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from personal experience and so on and so forth. Sad to say that 9 times out of 10, that advice goes unheeded. It goes unheard. And so I wonder tonight, did God's advice go unheeded by Jonah? How about us tonight? If we were personally counseled by God, what would we do? I'd like to think we'd have enough sense that if God Himself counseled us and told us what to do, we'd do it. But the truth of the matter tonight is, we are a stubborn people. We're hard-headed, and we think we know best, even sometimes better than the Creator who created us. That's what the book of Romans talks about. How they love the creature more than the Creator. And so tonight, how are we going to respond to the council? There's a lost and dying world that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, let us not love things more than people. That's what God was trying to get Jonah to understand. You love the plant. It was raised up and taken down in a day. How much more should we love the people God created and God loved? Let's pray.